Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Apparently I'm still ringing in the new year. I have my favorite cocktail in hand, Jasper Newton Jack Daniel with Diet Coke and a lime. Speaking of Jack, the staff is celebrating that Jack Finley Pearson, the executive assistant to Miss Carey's and my grandson, is now walking. And his older sister, Miss Harper Lee Pearson, who will undoubtedly be a future co-host, now has pierced ears. Rather fitting for a Pearson, wouldn't you say? All right, so now, back to the ranch. For those of you joining for the first time, the Dave Holly Hour is named after me. Shocking, I know. It is a show spotlighting Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations, and we have a couple of great ones in store for you today. Two very energetic ladies. Lenora Hintz is an actress and singer. She has been in a few Sioux Empire Community Theater productions and will be in an upcoming Goodnight Theater Collective Cabaret in a couple of weeks. Elizabeth Hunstad plays almost anything, almost anywhere. She talks about playing a variety of venues for a variety of audiences, and a special treat since it's her recording. We don't have to worry about legalities. We'll hear from Elizabeth. We'll hear Elizabeth's version, rather, of Stormy Monday coming up later. As you know, in the vast majority of cases, podcasts have to typically use royalty-free music. One segment I originally wanted to have on this show was More M.O.R., to celebrate and remember the great songs of an old radio format called Middle of the Road, and known within the radio industry as M.O.R., music that came from several generations and genres, typically 70s soft pop and easy adult contemporary. That was about the heaviest the beat was going to get. Lots of standards and instrumentals. But while researching podcasting, I realized copyright laws would keep me from highlighting those tunes. Then after I got this show underfoot, I found the Anchor podcast app. It's owned by Spotify. As long as the music is from Spotify or Apple Music libraries, it's allowed. The first episode can be found on the Anchor app now. Anchor, as in Anchors Away, A-N-C-H-O-R. It is supposed to be uploaded from there to Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All right, I have to admit, the first show, not as polished vocally, audio technically as I want, but I wanted to get a test out there just to get a feel for how their technology worked and as well to kind of get an understanding as to how it was going to sound for you. Regardless, I have some ideas, relatively simple ways to cure that. So in the next few episodes that'll be coming up with that, hopefully we'll have that taken care of. I'm not putting a timeline on that, whereas this comes out every Thursday morning. The middle of the road show, the More M.O.R., I'm not going to say when. It's just going to be kind of whenever the fancy strikes me, or maybe I'm listening to some old tunes and I hear it and go, that one needs to go on, and I'll put a show together. There's also, it's not an hour long. It's going to vary just depending upon the musical history that I pass along with each show when it comes to each of those songs. In the meantime, as I was researching and learning more about the Anchor / Spotify situation, I found some info on how to get this show on Spotify, so stay tuned. Just a few other things to touch on before we get to our guests. This is episode 14 of the Dave Holly Hour, 1/4 of the year in the books. Also, for regular listeners that know, we give a truly honorable mention each week to something that has tickled my funny bone. This week, it's a touch of sweetness. My wife and I are major believers in hand-holding. when we see young couples holding hands, we'll go up, we'll approach them, and tell them how great we think that is. Sunday morning at church, we saw Norman and Melanie Bliss holding hands in church during the service. Maybe retirement age, but still young at heart. By the way, at the end of today's show, a tribute to an old friend. But up next, we hear from Lenora Hintz on the Dave Holley Hour. Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holley.
Welcome back. You know, I need to say thank you to Josiah's because we've recorded quite a few interviews here for the Dave Holley podcast. And so today I really thought I would just steal one of their employees and interview an employee. Oh, no, wait a minute. She also happens to be an incredible actress and singer. Lenora Hintz, how are you today?
Hi, hello. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, this is so cool because you and I met, I wouldn't say by accident, but by chance.
Yes, at a Goodnight Theater cabaret.
That we were. Mm-hmm. And so we start chit-chatting, and it's like, wait a minute, we know you. We saw you in Oliver, and we started talking about that, and then you say, well, yeah, and I'm going to be in a Goodnight Theater production.
You betcha, yeah.
It's the one coming up, in fact.
Exactly, the Guilty Pleasures Cabaret. Rehearsals are well underway, and I am pumped. The show is going to be so much fun.
All right, so how many songs are you guys singing in that one?
Oh, goodness.
It's normally up there quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, I think it's like 25-ish.
Wow.
Maybe something to that extent.
Yeah, I don't doubt that one bit.
Yeah.
And we've been to so many of them, and just I think it's one of the greatest additions to the arts and entertainment community here in the Sioux Empire has been Goodnight Theater.
Definitely. It is truly like a hidden gem of Sioux Falls, I would say. It's a lot of fun, and it's one of those, it's always, I mean, it is a good night. That's why it's called
exactly.
that. But it is always a good night out, and yeah, always a good time.
Well, let's backtrack first, though.
Sure.
Because where we first saw you then was in Oliver, and you had an outstanding role.
Thank you so much. Yes, Oliver was a blast. It was so fun. I truly find my home on the stage, and so, yeah, everything about it was just a dream come true.
All right.
So great.
So where did we come from, and how did we get to Sioux Falls?
So I was actually born in California,
mm-hmm.
And then I moved to upstate New York for a year when I was 11. I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina then after that, and I spent my high school career life in Raleigh. That's where I really got involved in the theater scene. Was that time. After that, I moved down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida to go to Ocean's Edge School of Worship at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, where I spent 2 years and then decided I did not want to be a songwriter, which was fine because it cost me 2 years and no debt, so fine with it. I met my husband down there and we got married, and then he is an air traffic controller, which is what brought us up to the Great White North. But as soon as we got settled, I was hunting for a community theater to get plugged into. So.
And you found one
and
with
I found
a Sioux
one,
Empire
yeah.
Community Theater.
Was awesome.
Yeah, and how about the you've said it's awesome and so forth, but what was the experience like in that, being somebody that hadn't been in a local cast prior?
Yeah, so I'd actually done with Sioux Empire, I had done Fantastic Mr. Fox in January of 2017
mm-hmm.
as Mr. Fox, which was a joy. Oh man, it was a joy and such a fun show to be a part of, and that was my first experience in like a local community theater, you know, outside of high school theater. And that was fun. It was just a really fresh experience. Everyone was so kind and welcoming, inviting, just lovely. So much so that I ended up doing Jesus Christ Superstar thereafter, right away. And that was also an incredible show, incredible cast, so much camaraderie and just like joy in the craft, which was awesome. took a bit of time off after that, and then the Sioux Empire went under for a bit. But when they resurfaced, the director from Superstar was going to be the director for Oliver, and he had come into Josiah's and said, "Hey, I want you." And so I said, "Okay, I'll do it."
And you said for a medium or a dark roast?
Right,
or?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I said, "All right." So I sat down, chatted with the hubs about the schedule and what that would look like and who I would be and everything. And we made it work. We made it happen. And then, following through and getting Nancy, like I said, dream come true. It was like, oh, this is it. This is what I've waited my whole life for. And it was, I mean, just an incredible experience.
So now what are you waiting your whole life for?
Now I'm waiting my whole life for a child. I am currently 7 months pregnant. So end of March, and this little baby girl will be here, and we are thrilled about that. But I'm sure that I will still be well involved in theater. We will hire sitters and make it happen.
Well, I was gonna say you're not too far off, just a few weeks out from a production with Goodnight
yes.
Theater.
Yeah.
When you had said that originally, I was like, I thought she was going to be in a show.
Yes.
You're making it all happen.
I'm making it all happen.
Well,
yeah.
Good for you.
The Goodnight is very, their rehearsal schedule is very flexible. And because it is usually pop songs, it's stuff that we can practice more so on our own time and
right.
all of that kind of stuff. And so with that, it's been, I mean, this has just been a breeze. I think this is my happy medium between, you know, a heavy, heavy rehearsal schedule and like, no rehearsal at all. This is very nice, relaxed, where it's more dependent on me. And then that gives you, of course, all of those creative liberties as an artist and et cetera, et cetera. But it has been very, like, this is like my prime window of show. I'm like, this is so great. Like, I can just go to rehearsal like 2 or 3 times a week, and I don't have to be there every night, and I'm home, and my husband is happy, and everything is great. And so, yes, loving it.
So what made you get into Goodnight, and how did you get in?
So actually, I met Bob and Luke through Josiah's. I meet most people through Josiah's. but I met them through Josiah's, and I had just come, I was doing Oliver, and I had heard that, you know, I had heard about Goodnight. I had heard that they were going to be doing auditions where they audition once in the summer for their whole next season. And I knew that was coming up shortly after Oliver was wrapping up. And so I decided to audition based on that. And I had talked it over with Bob and gotten all the details and that kind of stuff. And so that's how I kind of got into the world of Goodnight. And then, yeah, the rest is history, I would say.
Awesome. And so how many songs out of the roughly 20 to 25 that are coming up in this next cabaret are you going to be singing in?
Probably about 20, I would say.
Wow.
I'm like in 20, you know,
right.
background vocals,
background at some point.
Duets, solos, all of that. You know, I would say about there's probably like 5-ish that I'm not in.
All right. And so what are the ones that you're going to be soloing in?
Ah, yes. I would say keep an eye out for Manic Monday. Sunglasses at Night. And I think that's it for my, like, just me solos. But there is a wonderful duet in the show. I will tease it. I am a part of it. I will tease it. And that is it. And it will make you cry. And it's going to be great.
Oh, good. I got to bring tissues.
Yeah, exactly. Be prepared.
Got an issue. Here's a tissue. All right. So the high school days are when you got involved?
Yes. I was actually, I mean, from like a wee bitty child. I mean, from the time I was...
You were the ham?
Yeah, when I was 2, I was on stage. I mean, they made roles for me in the church production because I needed to be on stage. It was like a whole thing. And so from then, I was definitely like, I want to be in the spotlight. People would ask me, I think around the time I was 5, they'd say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would say, I want to be a rock star. And like, I was like committed to that. And so, any church production I could get my hands on, any school production I could get my hands on when I was that young. And then high school theater was really that time where I was like in the theater classes, in all of the theater extracurriculars, like very dedicated in that respect. Yeah.
What came first, singing or acting?
Singing, for sure. I was in talent shows and all of that kind of stuff too when I was little. And so, definitely singing and taking, I remember taking singing lessons when I was like 6 and hating my life, but like it was worth it now.
Any instruments?
Piano, but only just barely, you know, enough for me to write a song, but not for it to make sense to anyone else. So, yeah.
Or, but you could go pick up a piece of sheet music and at least plunk through it. Well, at least
probably
you're honest.
Not. Yeah, definitely.
You hear about some of those actors that say, oh, yeah, I've ridden a horse before.
Yeah, absolutely not. I do not lie on my resume. I cannot read sheet music at all. No.
All right. So then how do you coordinate? I've always been curious about this when it comes to like the cabarets. It's maybe a little bit easier because it's primarily singing.
Yes.
But when you're in a musical like Oliver, so much because you've got all the lines, you've got the lyrics, you've got all the blocking.
Yes.
What does that take?
Oh my gosh, it takes so much. It takes your whole life for like a month and a half. Honestly, I think if the rehearsal schedule was longer, then things would, you know, be able to be spaced out and it wouldn't be so intensive. But my goodness gracious, it will consume your life for like 2 months. And it's rehearsals every day. It's singing in the car on the way to rehearsals, on the way home from rehearsals. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, practicing your choreography in like the 5 minutes you have in between at work. It's like constant, you know, it's asking, you know, and for the millionth time, your friend, your husband, whoever, to be like, will you run lines with me, please? Like, yeah. You know, it is quite constant, but it's the easiness of it because you're rehearsing so often. The repetitiveness gets it in your head a lot quicker. And because it is only, you know, about 2 months, then you just memorize it all and then you spit it all out and you're done.
All right. So you've had that experience with the musicals and the plays you've been in here. And then you've got what you kind of called a nice little cool down
yes.
in a rehearsal schedule for the cabaret coming up. But what are you looking for beyond that when you get back on stage after a child?
I think just being on stage in general is where it all comes together for me. That is my true home. Like, I just feel my most self when I am performing in general. And so post-baby, whatever that looks like, I think it will just be getting on stage, whether that is more community theater, depending on what that season looks like. I don't know yet. It depends on, you know, what the cabaret schedule looks like coming up, all of those things. But it is definitely like important to me to be on the stage in some capacity, and then also to, you know, take into consideration like my family and mm-hmm. their needs, and sit down and talk it over with my husband and our schedules, so that I'm not just like, okay, I've had the baby all day, here she is, yeah. I'm going to rehearsal, bye. Yeah, not like that at all, but just that kind of work-life balance where I think if I didn't work full-time and if I could get paid for it, I would be on the stage full-time. Mm-hmm. That would be ideal.
What's the ultimate role you'd like?
Oh my gosh, dream role of anything ever would just be Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd. I would just, yeah, I'd give my left arm for that role.
Wow.
Yeah, that is the be all to end all for me, for sure.
Okay. What do we have for influences? Let's start with the music first.
Oh, influences. It depends. When I was in the singer-songwriter vibes, I was trying more to like craft my sound, and like, it's that, who do you want to sound like, and that kind of thing. And I definitely love like jazz and all of that kind of 40s, 50s, that whole style, but I don't think that's my personal style. Anything melancholy, raspy, like, which is, I'm sure, so counterintuitive to anybody that knows me, but just anything that lives in like the sadness, if you will, is definitely my, I would say, like, musical forte, and vocal vibes is what I would say. But then also, like, I know, and just based on my training, that I can be a powerhouse, and I love that. Like, yes, put me up there with the Mariahs and the Beyoncés mm-hmm. of the world. Like, I will do it, and I will show up, and it will be great, so long as that I practice properly and keep my voice in check. But yeah, that's what I would say influences wise is like any powerful like woman who is accessing her feelings, pretty much. Yeah.
All right, so what about on the acting side?
You know, I don't think I've done a lot of like acting research as far as people on the stage are concerned. Mm-hmm. I haven't really done a whole lot of like watching and, you know, mimicking and seeing and all of those kinds of, I'm not really fangirling in that realm necessarily, as much as I'm just like, give me the role and I will work my way into that and put forth whatever, you know, my brand of that is, and then kind of let the director help me out of, this is my vision and you're going this way, and like, let's get on the same page here, and take, you know, any of my personal isms out of it, and yeah, just really help that director's vision come to life with my own spin, if that makes sense.
Any type of show you haven't done that you would like to, whether it be like a one person show, or do a musical mm-hmm. review on your own?
No, not necessarily. Well, I've never done a Sondheim musical, and I love me some Sondheim, so all ears for that. I have been told before, though, that I should do a one-woman show, and I just think that's so cliche. But I might. I don't know.
But you have the personality and the wherewithal to do it.
Thank you. I feel like one-woman shows and, like, singular person shows are so stereotyped in TV and movies of, like, no one wants to go to my production. No one wants to see it. No, it's like it's just very taboo and something you don't do. But I mean, I feel like I could hold someone's attention for like an hour-ish, you know, if I wanted to. So that might be fun. I do really like monologuing. I think most actors do. And so might not be such a bad idea. But yeah, just that has been fun. I've never been on the other side of the stage as far as in a directorial or stage manager capacity. And I'm very well organized. So I think that would be also a fun thing to do. I would stay away from choreography because I can do it if it's given to me.
Right,
I could not craft
design
it. No,
so
not a chance. So yeah, those would be the elements I would say in the theater world that I have not done that I would like to do probably. Yeah.
What other type of entertainment do you like when you're just going out to be entertained?
My husband's not a huge theater person, so we don't go to a whole lot of shows together. You know, we just like hang out on the couch and play board games. It's lovely. But I will say we are movie people, and he is a Star Wars person, and therefore
seen them all.
Yes. Okay. I am now by default a Star Wars person. Also a Lord of the Rings person. It's just, you know, when you get married. But I mean, I prefer, you know, to go see a show. I really do love live theater. I love the, I mean, it's just so once in a lifetime experience. It's very much, I always say this in the theater, is this is the only chance that you're performing this show for this audience ever. Like, this is the only time. And so live theater is just that feeling of like, this audience will never see this show by these actors ever again. And it's so like, I don't know the word for it, but it's so like momentous. It's like this one moment in time. And I just really appreciate that. And so that is what I really like live shows for, live music concerts, all of that. Anything that is like, this is the only time this is going to be done this way. And it will, you know, in a sense, be like just for me, kind of, which
is nice.
And
the other thing about live presentations is, as a performer, you know when you've nailed it.
Yes. Yeah. Which is a great feeling because exactly, you know, the audience and their response is just so exhilarating, and that's, you know, that's what we feed off of and that's what we give back. So I'm also looking forward to this cabaret for that reason. The good night crowd can be quite riotous. I am here for
very,
it
very good time, that is for sure. All right, so you said that you sit on the couch and play some board games.
Yes.
What's the favorite?
Oh, currently I don't even know. He just got a couple of new ones for Christmas that he's roping me into, which is always a good time. But we do love Carcassonne, and we love Quest for El Dorado. We love Disney's Villainous. So, I mean, if y'all are board gamers, just hit me up because
you've got the list.
I have. Yeah, he has like a whole app where he tracks stats of the board games. It's a whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, he's very involved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really.
That's
dedicated.
A passion.
Yes, he is very involved. I'm like, all right then, you know, whatever floats your boat, babe.
Yeah.
So yes, we do spend quite a bit of time at home with our dog just hanging out. You know.
What kind of dog?
Miniature dachshund.
Well, cute.
Yes, he is adorable, and he is rotten, as all miniature dachshunds are.
Well, that can't be the way that we end talking about a rotten dachshund.
Right.
We got to have something happy to talk about. So what's a favorite quote or something that provides you inspiration, especially when it comes to, you know, maybe even a little ritual you have before you go on stage?
Sure. I think the only ritual that I've ever, you know, remembered of going on stage, it was something that I had learned in high school. One of my directors would do this, and it was really, he would just gather us all together and remind us of that concept of this is the only time you were performing this show for this audience. So, you know, just go out there, kill it, crush it, and don't feel any sort of, like, I don't know, tension or nervousness or anything like that. Like, give it your all. It's going to be awesome. They're going to receive it. Like, all of those, like, feelings of just, like, this once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I think that that is my biggest, like, inspiration of doing live theater. It's my biggest inspiration before I go on stage, is just remembering that, like, this moment will never come again. And that is just so awesome. Like, I just love it. It's just so so great because there's just those people are only experiencing that moment that one time and it's never going to happen again. So yes, just that truly, truly being able to live in the moment. It's
well,
awesome.
We certainly appreciate your moments today that you've spent with us. Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha.
It has been such a pleasure over the past year getting to know you because we do frequent Josiah's quite a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, y'all want to see me, holla at your girl. I am here on Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So
all right.
Come see me.
Well, we will do that in addition to seeing you upcoming
yes.
in Goodnight Theater's Guilty Pleasures Cabaret.
Yes,
looking forward
sir.
To that. Bought the tickets a couple of nights ago.
Awesome.
So we're
yes.
ready to go.
And get your tickets while you can. They're selling out
they
quick.
They do sell out quickly.
They really do.
They
so.
Do. That's not an advertising yeah, marketing no. gimmick. Goodnight Theater tickets sell quickly.
Yes, and so you will be sad if you miss it. So don't miss it.
All right. Thank you, Lenora.
Thanks so much,
it's
Dave.
It's been a pleasure.
You betcha.
We'll have more coming up in just a moment on the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
He's a bit flirtatious, but most of all, fun. Here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. It is such a pleasure to talk about the Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment community. And joining us this time around is Miss Elizabeth Hunstead. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much
Glad
for having me today.
Yeah, pleasure. I've seen you around before, but the first time I introduced myself to you wasn't too long back when you were playing at the Wood Grain.
Yes.
And you seem to just be playing whatever, wherever.
Probably accurate.
Well, we'll put that on the promo. She plays whatever, wherever.
Thank you, because yeah. I never know what to say. People go, what kind of music do you do? And I'm like, well, that depends on you. What do you want to hear?
You know, I have a great story about what type of music. Just a few days before he passed away, and it's been, probably about 7 years ago, my high school band teacher was in the hospital, and he had a biopsy that day in his mouth, so he couldn't speak. But I wanted to say goodbye to him, and I went up to him. I said, you know, Tom, I said, there's one thing I always get. Anytime somebody's found out I've been in radio, they always ask the same question. Well, what's your favorite music?
Yeah.
I said, I've always told them the same answer. Good.
Yeah. Well,
I said,
that's good.
That's because of you. I said, because you taught us to have an appreciation
right.
For all the different genres and so forth. And then I also told him, I said, you know,
that's cool.
letter jackets, medals and stuff like that have all gone away a long time ago. But I've got one thing I keep in my house, and that's my Louis Armstrong Jazz Award you gave me.
I have one of those.
Well.
You have one of those?
Yes,
cool.
I do. Yes. So where did you get yours?
Washington High School. I was a lawyer.
Yeah. Mine was down at Central Line.
Not to
Rock
take
Rapids.
Your moment. I was just thinking, that's really cool.
That's an awesome
and
thing.
And I feel the same way about that award.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. I just, the great thing that I am finding out, because arts and entertainment are my passion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I started the podcast. Didn't really know exactly where it was going to start leading to, but I started to use the tagline that it's Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. And we just chit-chat. But the thing that I find out is the great camaraderie there is in this community for arts and entertainment.
Oh, absolutely.
So what did you were at Washington High School. You're a Sioux Falls kid.
Yeah.
And then SDSU for undergrad work?
Yes.
Okay. And so what got you to the point of saying, you know, this music thing, I think I can make a go at it?
I've just known my whole life. It's a calling for me. So it's with anybody that can relate on having a calling. Because I know some people go, well, I don't know. I like doing this. I like doing this. And I like a lot of things too. I've just known this is what I have to do. But people that kind of can relate with that doesn't mean, there, the answers and the path is laid out in front of you. You have no idea. I don't know what it means. I don't know how to exactly do it. So I've just kind of I had a lot of support from my parents growing up, and I say parents because I don't have siblings, but so my family overall, but mm-hmm. definitely my mom and dad just said, any opportunities that come your way, take them. If this is what you want to do, you know, take it. You get a chance to perform here or this or that. And so it's just kind of been each part of my life kind of going, okay, let's see where I can make a name for myself here right. and here and here. And so, yeah, I've just kind of always been on that path. And my goal, and I think anything you intend to do and you set out and you go, this is what I want to do or my purpose is, I always knew someday I wanted to do music full time. Again, I don't know what that means exactly. I still don't always know. But just finding a way to do it. So the SDSU, I went for music merchandising because I knew I wanted to perform. And I personally, I know there are people that go to school for performance degrees. I feel like you don't need a degree to perform because if you can do it, you know, you're out there doing it. But I didn't want to be a teacher. Both my parents are teachers. There were, so I definitely respect that. That was not my calling.
Right.
So I thought, well, the business end of it's great because essentially I have a music and a business degree and learning how to market myself. One of the most useful pieces of advice I've ever received, and this was in college, was in a marketing class. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse sometimes. A little marketing class. We had a speaker go, well, bottom line with marketing, what good is what you do if no one knows about it? So that's kind of what my goal was, is how to do the business side, to learn to keep it afloat, market, promote, and then get out there and sing and play as much as I can.
So what years were you at to SDSU?
Well, I took the five-year plan, so 2005 to 2010.
Okay. And so at least, you know, a lot of technology had come along by that time.
Yes.
Especially social media has obviously made it much easier to go about that, hasn't it?
It's really interesting that the timing, I've actually never thought of this really this way until right now. Facebook came out when I was starting college. It was just an interesting timing because at that time it was only for college email addresses.
That's right.
And then it allowed me to at least get a feel for it because that's weird. I mean, it's a total paradigm shift when you go, oh, everything I'm doing now, I should be sharing with the world. And then you go, what do you share? What don't you share? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of nice with a limited audience in college to go, you know, what do you post? You don't have everyone see it, and learning kind of how to do that. And then when it did become more public, and as my career became more public, it helped me to kind of go, okay, this is the professional online image I want to have. And so now it's something that's normal, but like I said, yeah, it is different with how
right. It's just part of everybody's
helped.
Life.
It's helped so much to be able to promote what you do. And with anything anyone does, it's like, oh, you put it online, people see it.
So were you one of those that you went to your parents and said, I want to take piano lessons or I want to sing? Or
yes.
You were.
Well,
it wasn't. It wasn't a situation where teachers saying, well, you know, you really should do this.
Oh, I had some gym teachers and coaches saying I should run cross country, so I know what that's like, and I tried it, and I mean, I liked it, but I don't think that I excelled in it at the rate it could have because my heart wasn't in that. So I understand, you know, with that, with people, but no, I've always known this is what I need to do. I've always been singing, like just whatever, a little kid, just, you know, just probably to the point of being annoying. Like, I'm just always singing something. But when I remember when I was in kindergarten asking my parents for piano lessons, and I, at least that's my memory, but I didn't start until second grade, so I was seven, because I kept asking, I think, and then so I started then.
Other instruments besides that?
No, not officially. Okay. But I have like my little hidden thing that I really enjoy doing, but I don't get to go out and do, is percussion, but like auxiliary percussion. I own a djembe. I'd love to play it more. I just can't sing and play it at the same time. So I'm like, if anybody ever needs a little percussion with them, I'd love to do that. But it's just not what I get publicly.
So you
do.
Carry around a tambourine.
I have a tambourine. Oh yeah, because I had a actually, guy used to play drums with me in high school, my buddy Rob, he was in town, he lives in Denver, and he came to my gig at Vin one night, and I'm like, well, here, and I hand him, and it's Christmas time, so I hand him a tambourine, jingle bells, and a shaker, and he goes, who just carries this stuff around? And he sat there and played, it was so fun, and then eventually we did a gig together before he left town, but anyway, so that's, I have no formal training with that, but I will say my claim to fame and probably how I got started with that, actually, was marching band in high school. One year, that wasn't really my thing either, but they needed some people in the pit percussion. So I got to stand between the bass drum and the gong, and those are what I played. So I can play a gong for you anytime.
You're probably too young to remember the Gong Show.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm too, but I don't know if I know the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Gong Show. It was a farce thing.
Oh,
back in
mid-70s. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't.
Sorry. People would come up with these crazy acts and be on stage, and then if one of the three judges didn't like them, they'd go over and take the big mallet and hit this huge gong.
Yeah.
And then they were gone. So.
But there's an art to it. You know, you got to warm it up before you hit it. And man, I wear earplugs. That's all I got to say. But no.
Yeah, between that and a bass drum.
Yeah. Yeah. So I sing and play piano. We'll stick with that. But I, you know, I do enjoy adding some of that stuff if I can.
At what age were you able to start adding the singing to the piano playing? Because that
that's
takes
a good
some
question.
Coordination.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really cool question, because I just didn't want to sing in front of people like solo. I just thought no one's going to hear that. And when I started out with piano, that was going to be my thing, and I was going to just be the best piano player I could be. And well, anyway, piano now is more just a means of accompaniment more than anything for me. I mean, I love having other musicians play along when I can, and so I didn't end up excelling in that as much as I originally thought when I was younger. And because then it was just overcoming that, like, okay, can I sing in front of people? And I always have to give Regine Brown a shout out, because she was my choir director right away in high school, my freshman year of high school. And she gave me my first solo. And there's a whole story to that, of me hemming and hawing and, whoa, and asking questions about it. She goes, just try out. And anyway, but. And then once I got over that initial, like, okay, I just sang solo in front of people, and the way the crowd responded, because it's interesting. There's definitely, I mean, I admire all the very talented instrumentalists out there, and that's a whole different kind of art. But people, the way they respond to the human voice is just, and coming from somebody who only played piano in front of people, and the way they responded to my singing. So anyway, I had been singing in choirs and then been playing in shows, like talent shows and stuff, but it was my freshman year of high school when that solo hit. So then I wrote a song that I sang and played. And that was the other thing. I thought, can I write lyrics? How do you do that? How do you know? And then I always enjoyed writing poetry growing up. So I thought, oh, it's just a poem. And you're just singing it as you do it, kind of thing. And so one thing to the next, it kind of just all came together, the singing of words I'm writing and then putting it with chords. And what was that? I think that was my sophomore year, if I remember, of high school. Was the first year then that I was in the talent show. And that's the first time I sang and played in front of a crowd.
And was that an original song that you sang then for the talent show?
Yes.
One of your own?
Oh, yeah. So the first thing I sang and played together was something I wrote. Yeah, that's
no cover.
That's different too, isn't it?
Yeah, that is different.
Yes.
That's taking a big leap.
Yeah. Not necessarily great, but different. No, it was cool because it's just like, I tell people too, there's no more way to feel exposed in front of people, because not only are they listening to how you play your instrument, then they're listening to your own unique voice, and you write the song, and it's like, all right, this is all just putting it out there.
So when did you do your first paid gig?
I say that I, because, you know, when you fill out like resumes and how long have you been doing this, I say that I've been a professional musician since 2002, which would have been my, started my sophomore year of high school, because that fall I started a group, Holla Jazz. We were a holiday jazz combo, and I mean, I'd been playing all over anyway, like through the years, just nursing homes and that kind of thing, just piano recitals, and our music groups would go into places. But I started a group and I said, I want to do this. And that was very intimidating, because I went to who I thought our best musicians were, which means, you know, I'm this little sophomore girl going up to juniors and seniors, which that's scary at that time, going, you guys, would you do this? And they all were for it. So it was really neat.
That's excellent.
And then we didn't do gigs for hire, but sometimes, you know, organizations would give us an honorarium or something. Mm-hmm. And so I consider that, hey, we were getting paid and paid for our t-shirts. So, so we were branded.
Yeah.
They knew we were Holla Jazz.
Well, see, you were starting that whole music merch thing.
I know. Didn't even
college,
realize it.
Yeah.
It was these holiday shirts that said we were Holla Jazz with our names on it and Santa hats. That was our look.
Excellent. I love it. But then, of course, I play Santa, so I would like that.
Right.
All right. So I want to go back just a little bit to the songwriting part, because I love that, because I'm a big instrumental person.
Yeah. That's cool.
And it was long. I didn't go into choir until I was a senior in high school.
Oh, really?
Right.
And so we were both kind of not sure about
I was thinking of it, my voice more so just for speaking.
And you have a wonderful speaking voice.
Oh, well, thank you. Because I was going to be getting into radio. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think of it, but I thought, you know, at least it's going to be good to learn some about vocal control, things like that.
Oh, sure.
So I was mostly an instrumentalist. I've always liked that saying, when you're happy, you hear the music. When you're sad, you listen to the lyrics.
Okay.
Where do you fall in that spectrum?
Lyrics for me are always subconscious.
Okay.
So until they can't be, when I have to learn a song. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in that regard, I'll love a song because I always feel the music first, like say, and I can just love a song, and then somebody goes, well, Elizabeth, do you know what that song's about? And I'm like, yeah. No. And then I pay attention to words, like, well, I still like the song. Yeah. We can just change the words of it. But it's always a subconscious thing, right down to the, well, and then, you know, now learning music all the time and just for everything, weddings or just gigs, or someone wants to hear a song and we pull it up on the spot on a gig. And you go, oh, these are the words. But it really is subconscious because I'll be, actually, you said when you're sad, you listen to the lyrics, it'll be a total subconscious, like I might be in just kind of an introspective mood, or I'm, you know, just kind of doing my thing at home, and I start singing something, and I don't know, why is this song popping into my head? And then I realize the words are fitting exactly what's going on in my life, but I don't, like, make, I don't, and maybe other people, I've never asked anyone if they do that. Do you do that? Like,
yeah.
Okay. I suppose that is. It's just not a conscious thing, and then you go, oh, well, okay, that just fits right now.
Well, part of it's, you know, I've got old ears, so I can't always hear the lyrics that well.
Well, I think that's not even that. I mean, sometimes they just don't enunciate very well either.
True.
And it's, if I like the feel of a song, you can always figure out how the message applies, you know. That's what I think. I don't mean that to downplay these, like, people that are expert lyricists, because there's a whole art in that too.
But so what do you like to play now? I mean, you will play about anything and about anywhere.
Okay.
But if you get your choice, where do you want to be in and what do you want to play?
I really love what I'm doing, and I think what happens is throughout my career, I have changed so much with different things of what I've done. You know, I was considered a jazz singer for so long, and then I've stepped away because I wanted to be more, I guess I wanted to broaden my audience, and I feel like now I do so many covers and top 40 songs, and it's just, I always hope to play to what the audience wants, but then it's cool when somebody comes in and then they still do want to hear a jazz standard, and I go, well, I've got that in my songbook too, up in my head. But so I do.
So at one of your request shows, I'm going to be requesting a jazz song.
I think, didn't you request Girl from Ipanema? Did I do it?
I did, yes.
But see, and I do that better when I've got one of the jazz cats playing with me, because then I can sing, you know, when I'm playing on the piano, it's not, that to me doesn't represent the way the song should totally go, but I do love a chance to, anyway, so that actually might be a direction I would like to go, is tap back into some of that, because now I feel like I've evolved into doing mm-hmm. all these different types of songs that all these different artists you wouldn't expect, and the variety, but I think maybe I can delve more into doing some of that again, and songwriting is another thing, because I have kind of not been writing as much. I've found that I do think there's a niche with covers, because people like to hear that, and mm-hmm. if you do covers in a way that they think is catchy. But overall, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to just, well, this is what I'm feeling, and I always struggled with this growing up, because I thought, I don't want to be limited to a genre, hence why I'm not. But anyway, what I've realized, no, everyone's got kind of a sound. I'm a soul singer. I like being a soul singer, and that's... So when I get into it, if I can just growl into some blues, or uh-huh. I can do some Motown, or you know, even current music that has that feel, that's going to be more where I'll hang out if I'm picking songs.
If you were to do karaoke,
yes,
what would be your go-to song? What would be the default?
Okay, so like, and the way I look at that is, if I'm going to be there a while, I build up and I do right. a few fun ones, and then. But if I was like, I've got one shot, I try to read the room and see. If it needs to be an upbeat energy, I love doing CeeLo Green's Forget You. Sometimes in the bar environment, they want the other words.
Right.
But it's just, that one's just a powerhouse song.
That is.
And but then other times, especially karaoke environments where everybody's had a few, And I love to do Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
Oh,
and
my.
Then you get everyone's hands are in the air and they're into it. And I'm like, come on, sing it with me.
Well, see, I even have an app on my phone that's a lighter so I can put
that's
that
perfect.
Up and wave it.
But I'm waiting, you know, because you're always tentative about a ballad at karaoke, but it's got to just be the right thing that everyone's like, yeah, it's fine.
Well, you have some things coming up. You're going to be Friday at Debin 201.
Yes.
And
I need to post my calendar. But
and then I believe I'm going to be seeing you probably in a couple of weeks for sure. If
okay.
we don't get down to the bin this weekend, you're going to be doing dueling keyboards at Sky Lounge.
Well,
is that correct?
It's not. It's not going to be the dueling.
No, it's not going to be the dueling. Okay.
But here's why. No, but I'm so excited. That's cool. You're going to be there.
Well, see, I host trivia there the night before.
Okay.
And so we go down to Sky Lounge quite often to other things, comedy and
cool.
music and so forth.
Yeah, Tanya Baker and I have been messaging back and forth, getting this all
great gal.
Figured out. I know.
And advertiser, Tanya, advertiser.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I'm very, like, really looking forward to it. Very excited to get to be there. So thank you. That's cool that you do trivia there. But anyway, she goes, dueling pianos or, like, one of your duo partners so we can do requests and that kind of thing. And that's why I've kind of gone more towards the request show because I just... Okay, there's so much talent around here, and I feel lucky to have like a nice list of really awesome musicians that I get to work with. So by not saying, oh, well, it's going to be two pianos, it allows it to be kind of whoever. But I'm actually going to have Ruben Rodriguez join me. I don't know. Have you met him?
I have not.
He's everywhere. It's awesome because he can play anything. And I say that, and you probably go, well, you know. But he really can. He can play any instrument. But he's most known for his, or has been most known for his bass playing. But anyway, he plays solo. He plays in groups. He plays with Denim. And I know Denim's made a big name for himself around here. But anyway, but then Ruben's got his own projects. I think sometimes he's got a trio. I mean, because he can do the jazz, the funk, you name it. But he'll play with me. And I always say, I go, Ruben, I'm sorry. Because then again, back to that musicality of it, like he does like 100 chord changes to my one or two. And I go, that's cool. You just do that. But he's so talented and fun. And so I think it'll add like a totally different element. And again, no limits to the kind of music we can play that night, hopefully.
Exactly.
So.
you will get a wide variety down
yes.
there. That's for sure.
Anyway.
All right. When you're not entertaining other people, I always like to ask this question, guess what type of entertainment do you like to go to?
Well, that's very true. And I was trying to like kind of think, you know, you always got to be focused on your brand and yes, you can be establishing who you are, but it's kind of always a, should I be rebranding or tweaking parts of these things? And I thought, what's the best way to describe, because I feel like I'm more than just a musician and I work as a booking agent sometimes. But I thought, it's a lifestyle for me because even when I'm not gigging, that is exactly what I like to go do. I like
right.
to go find live music and I feel lucky that people a lot of times let me come up and sing. So I guess I've been calling myself more of a live music lifestyler where I'm trying to connect people to be playing, you know, on and off the stage and watching it grow. But anyway, so I guess, yeah, is that what you're asking? I know I talk a lot, but is that, you know, I'll go to like, the places that I like to play or that, you know, I like to go there and then also support. So our
right.
wine bar, I go to a lot. I go to Bin a lot. And there's so many places and I'm not leaving anyone out. It's just that those are off the top of my head because I went to both of those this weekend and listened to Micah Wetzel. He was at Bin on Friday and our wine bar on Saturday. And we worked together, but then it's kind of nice to support him and then sing a couple songs. anyway.
So with that lifestyle, then any time for hobbies or anything?
Yes. And so that has become a hobby. I like to go out and experience different venues and socialize. But also I think my main thing is just quality time with people that you care about because
right.
I really believe that that's valuable. And but I also big dog person and I have.
What breed?
Well, I have a Havanese rooster who's 4. And then I just got a toy Aussie doodle, Charlie. Because I thought, well, why not? What's another one? So anyway, and again, I like taking my dogs to breweries and wineries and.
Right. Right.
Getting them out to socialize so it all connects.
Excellent. Well, thanks for connecting with us today. And
thanks for
Do I have your permission to play your song? Because you
oh,
know,
absolutely.
With podcasting, you got to be very careful with the copyrights and everything.
Okay.
And so tell us what we're going to hear.
Okay. That was a couple years ago. It's speaking of where, again, I feel like I love to showcase is this is Stormy Monday, which is just a great blues tune. And I've worked a lot with Chris Champion over the years. So we went in, and then the other name that's so important is Mike Dresch at Cat House Studios. He is just wonderful. We went in and we recorded this track, and I love it. It showcases what Chris plays and then my voice. So I didn't play on it. I just sang on it. But
well, you know, Zach Dresch is the guy that does the liners and the open and the close for this show.
So oh, great.
The Dreschers are.
I love that.
They know
Zach's
how to work
so cool.
Some music. Yep, yeah. That's for sure. Well, here it is.
Okay, thank you.
Stormy Monday on the Dave Holly Hour.
They call it Stormy Monday. But Tuesday is just as bad. They call it Stormy Monday. But Tuesday is just as bad. Wednesday is worse. Thursday is also sad. The eagle flies on Friday. It's Saturday I go out to play. The on my knees and I pray.
Down at my knees and I pray.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. You know, the advancement in arts and entertainment over the last half of century, amazing. I remember being thrilled when Mom and Dad bought a color TV and the old black and white set that came into my bedroom. Where on non-school nights when I was a wee young boy, I was allowed to stay up and watch the king, Johnny Carson. I remember not owning a vehicle with an FM radio until I was out of college. There was a certain thrill in picking up those all-night AM stations from Chicago or St. Louis by ever so gently turning the tuning knob. I didn't even touch a computer until I was in college. Now this show, captured totally in digital formats. There is no end to arts and entertainment anymore, nor where it can go. Just make sure that you get the kids out to do other things also, because that can be entertaining. You see, because when you were a couple of neighborhood boys born in 1961 and 62 in a small northwest Iowa town, you entertained yourself playing outside and having imaginations. Unfortunately, some parents now, when kids are acting up, they think it's that instead of just having an imagination. I find that sad. You see, we were kids for kids' sake, for, well, pure imagination, if you will. This comes out on Thursdays, this show. And this Thursday, today, is January 9th. It would have been Tom Kyle's 59th birthday. He was one of those neighborhood boys. I was the other. Television gave us three channels. Cable didn't arrive in Rock Rapids until the early 80s. We played in the dirt with Tonka trucks and Matchbox cars. We played Little League Baseball at Kiwanis Park long before there was a fence. Being the chubby kids we were, we had to earn our home runs by hitting the ball a long way and then gasping for breath after running the bases instead of breaking into a home run trot. After Sunday school, a handful of us would race red wagons, you know, little kids' wagons, on the gentle slope of 9th Avenue between Marshall Street and Tama Street. We'd also spend many hours practicing kickoffs and field goals. He became an incredible golfer. I became an incredibly average one. We both had knee surgeries during our high school years. Now, not much more than a year ago, I had to have my knee fully replaced. I had to go through some very intense pain during my physical therapy and rehab. Tom didn't have a knee replacement. He had cancer. The 3 weeks I suffered the most can never compare to his last 3 years. His pain ended December 27th. I wasn't able to make the family visitation or the funeral. My mother was able to be there and pass along remembrances of those things that I previously mentioned. But we did see him on the return trip from being down at Lake Okoboji one time this summer. We stopped. It was either late summer or early fall. And we did get to see him. So I got to tell him I loved him. And in my way, that was my goodbye then. You know, Tom was a great golfer, as I mentioned, and I was a very average one. But it didn't stop us from being league partners a couple of years and playing in some fun tournaments that, you know, weren't really anything to worry about and making sure you had a great golf score. So he was kind enough to do that. Well, in our home course in Rock Rapids, he would always remind me that on the fourth hole, the putt would always break toward the river. So remember, Tommy, in heaven, that putt will always break to the water of everlasting life. Rest in peace, my friend. Thank you for joining us once again on the Dave Holly Hour. It is such a pleasure to bring you arts and entertainment conversations and so many great things coming up. Don't forget, More MOR, another podcast, is now available on Anchor. Eventually, it's going to be, and I don't mean like long-term eventually, I mean within the next few days, at least according to Anchor, it's supposed to go to Spotify because Spotify owns Anchor, and it's also supposed to get up on the Apple podcast. In the meantime, if you're listening here on Podbean or Apple, still working on that situation with Google, and we're awaiting word from Google right now. We got a little farther in the technical aspects of it the other day, so crossing our fingers. But also, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this podcast will now be coming your way on Spotify rather soon. So stay tuned for that. And no matter what time of the day, what time of the week, where, or how, appreciate you being a great listener. Again, my name is Dave Holly. For me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.